Donald Trump has been under constant attack from the left at an ever more fevered pitch since, well, since 2015, he came down the escalator. He could never be the nominee. He could never get elected president. He could never succeed as president. The list goes on and on and on. And yesterday at the NAACP get-together, in fact, Rashida Tlaib came right out and said that she's not going anywhere until what? Let's take bite number three real quick before our next guest. Bite three. Go.
Yeah, I'm not going nowhere. Not until I impeach this president.
Not until I impeach this president. Well, I said right after the midterm elections and right after the 2016 elections, don't overplay your hand. Well, guess what? The Democrats have not just overplayed their hand. They've gone wild. My next guest, Liz Peek, my favorite Fox News contributor, former partner bracket Wall Street firm Wertheim & Company. Liz, welcome back.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Everything that I hear, that's it. This is the end of Donald Trump. Finally, the squad. The squad, Liz, that's going to be his match. And it's just like, really? This is what you've got? You've called him a racist, a misogynist. And we just had David Clark on here a moment ago. And he said, not only is the race card almost meaningless, it's completely meaningless anymore. They throw it at everybody. Whenever you don't have an argument, they throw it.
Well, look, I think the best evidence of that is they're also accusing Nancy Pelosi of being against them because of racist tendencies. I mean, this has gotten ridiculous. And look, if Trump needs and succeeds when he has a target or an enemy, if you will, Hillary Clinton was more than happy to satisfy that role in 2016 and did it ably. Who's doing it now? Obviously, these four freshmen or these four representatives in the House, so-called women of color, though I really don't know why that always is brought into the conversation. But they're four progressives who hate Donald Trump, vow to impeach him. But they're also just terrible people. So, you know, with every utterance, whether it's an anti-Semitic rant or anti-American comment, they really basically harden people's view of the progressive left. And their approval ratings show it. I mean, they're anywhere from 9% approval to 20%. And by the way, that's with people who've heard of them. So it's not like people just don't know who they are.
Yeah, people that have heard of them just don't like them when it comes to Ilhan Omar, for example. And it's a great matchup. The president framed, you know, and I said this from day one. Here's exactly what he's doing. He's framing the argument. It's the American dream versus the radical socialists, and here's the face, here are the poster children for the radical socialism ideas being put forth in America, and for people in Missouri or North Carolina or swing states like Florida and Michigan, they do not identify with the squad.
No, they don't. And, you know, what's happening, and there was an interesting deep dive into the Electoral College prospects for 2020 in the Times this weekend, New York Times, basically analyzing where Trump stands. And the reality is it's going to come down to 2020 looking a lot like 2016, Wisconsin being the swing state. But what they kind of underscored without coming right out and saying it is that Democrats are totally bolstering their popularity and their following where? In the states they already have. In New York and in California, the blue states, where they're going to absolutely wipe Trump off the map. But guess what? It doesn't matter because we have something called the Electoral College. And the people in those swing states that you just mentioned, places like Ohio, Pennsylvania, Michigan,
correct,
they don't like this stuff. And I mean, every day I actually was thinking about starting a post on the dumbest story of the day. Today I found three. I mean, it's just sort of like, are you kidding? They're going to, you know, whether it's Berkeley deciding that manhole covers can't have gender-specific words anymore.
Of course.
I mean, it's all just so stupid. Most Americans are scratching their heads and saying, how did we get here?
Was that the same meeting they banned natural gas usage in Berkeley? Because they did that this past week as well.
Yeah, I mean, don't even get me started on energy discussions because in New York State, where I live, it's as bad as it gets anywhere in the country. Governor Cuomo has banned the construction of a pipeline to carry natural gas, which, by the way, is relatively clean and cheap to New York City residents, to New York area residents. They now, if you build a new house, you will most likely will not be able to use natural gas, which means in the short run, you're using even dirtier fuels.
Electricity.
And in the long run, much, much more expensive renewables.
Electricity. I wonder if the governor did that, you know, in the middle of one of the blackouts because he didn't have enough energy, or he was just, you know, he had time to sit in the dark and think of anyhow. It's ridiculous. And I'm going to say this, though, Liz. What are the New York Times writers going to say when Donald Trump not only wins the Electoral College, but also wins the popular vote? Then what?
Well, they are pretty sure that's not going to happen. It's an interesting
calculus. Well, they were pretty sure he wasn't going to win at all.
Because they want a high turnout election, and yet the high turnout election very well could elect President Trump. And the way they're going, they will manufacture that. And by the way, all of this analysis is based on 2018, and what Democrats refuse to talk about is Donald Trump wasn't on the ticket. You put him on the top of the ticket, it's a whole different kind of election.
Exactly right. And you look at his numbers, brand new NBC polling in 11 southern states that include the swing state of North Carolina. He's getting more popular. He's up 2 points since September.
And that was meant to be Democrats' bulwark against the Rust Belt being determinative. Again, what they were saying is, oh, okay, we're going to not be able to compete in the Rust Belt unless maybe Joe Biden is our candidate. And I think you and I would agree, Joe Biden is a really exceptionally weak candidate.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to make it. His numbers keep coming down. Right now, I've actually switched horses to, I think we might have talked about this before, but right now I think Elizabeth Warren might stand the best chance to come out on top with Kamala Harris as her running mate potentially. Real quickly, I'll give you the last word.
Well, I think Warren could well be the candidate, and I think even Democrat friends of mine are scared to death of her because she has no she calls herself a capitalist. I've yet to see a single utterance where she actually approves of the way our economy is managed. She is bad news.
She is. Liz Peek, you're good news, though. Thank you for being here, as always, Liz.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
There you have a quick break on the Steve River Show.
We're here with Dr. Andrew McCursey, radiologist with Sparrow Hospital. Dr. McCursey, Sparrow has expanded its radiology services to Sparrow Health Center Lansing. What's offered there?
We have a full array of imaging services at the health center. We have MRI, CT, 3D digital mammography, ultrasound, digital x-ray, and bone density.
What are the advantages for the patients who go there?
Our patients love the convenient location. They also love the easy in-and-out parking. And they also love the ability to schedule examinations after hours, both on the evenings and the weekends.
How can people learn more about Sparrow's radiology services?
To learn more, they can go to sparrow.org/radiology-services.
That's sparrow.org/radiology-services. We've been speaking to Dr. Andrew McCursey, radiologist with Sparrow Hospital, about how Sparrow has expanded its radiology services to Sparrow Health Center Lansing. Choose wisely. Choose Sparrow.